This is the Pete Brindley Show podcast, episode 6. Hello, hello. We're coming to you in mid-September, and I hope you're enjoying some of this late summer weather. Coming up today, thoughts on Hurricane Irma, behind the scenes with my first football play-by-play. We'll shine the spotlight on an Illinois police officer, tell you about another tasty recipe, and some thoughts on 9/11, now 16 years later. First, the hurricane. Has the country ever been hit with back-to-back hurricanes like this before? I don't know. Maybe I should check with Dean DeVore at AccuWeather to find out. I find it amazing. I was watching football this Sunday. Yes, even though the Patriots don't play, I'm a football fan. I was watching this Sunday, and it was almost like they didn't know who to help. It was like, we've recorded all these promos for Houston, but now don't forget Florida. Oh, and keep an eye on Jose. I don't know how we're going to pay for all this. I see the president has approved emergency aid for Houston and now Florida. Not that I'm saying they don't deserve it, but where does this money come from? I was truly amazed at how Irma affected us all. I sat in church Sunday morning and realized that somehow this storm seemed to touch us all. There were people in church that had winter property in Florida. Some people have children there. We have two cousins, and Priscilla has a dear friend who got out of town and stayed at a hotel further north. I had a former colleague who decided to ride it out in St. Petersburg. He made out okay, just some branches down. In fact, all of our friends and family did okay. They went a few days without power. Disney World was closed. How many of us have been to Disney World? How many of us have been to Fort Myers to see the Red Sox? Or New Bedford Day down at Fort Myers? So somehow, this one seemed to touch a lot of people I know and maybe a lot of people you know too. Well, I had my first football play-by-play game last Friday when I did the game between Barnstable and Dennis Yarmouth at Dennis Yarmouth High School, and it went fine. Of course, I found a few things that I can work on to get better. I kept an audio journal that day, so let's listen in a bit.
I am on my way to Wareham now. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm heading down to the Cape today to Dennis Yarmouth, not to Martha's Vineyard. But tonight I'm doing the Dennis Yarmouth hosting Barnstable game. So what happens is I leave my house about 3 in the afternoon, and I'm meeting my co-host. I'm meeting him in Wareham. We always agree to meet at a certain place and to travel to the game together. It only makes more sense that way. One of my partners comes from Taunton. And this partner comes from out around Framingham. So he has quite the drive. So we're going to meet in Wareham. We have a parking lot that we use where the car is safe. I will admit I'm a bit nervous today because, as I mentioned in a previous podcast, this is the first time I've actually done play-by-play. Usually I'm the analyst, so I just react to what's happening on the field and try to explain what's going on, what the thinking might be. For years, when I was at WBSM, I had Jack Peterson, who was always the lead. I think I covered for Jack once or twice when he was sick. But that's about it. I work with CapeAndIslandSports.com. So if you want to check out their website, you can see the schedule of games we do. What happened was, when I got fired by BSM, pretty much my wife suggested, why don't you say yes to everything that comes along and have fun and explore new opportunities? So through Kevin Cronin, who I was working with at WPLM, I was introduced to Sandy Beach Communications, and they are Cape and Island Sports. And they have really set up quite the program. There's about four of us, four different teams of broadcasters that head out to various games. Sandy Beach and Bill Abramson cover the Nantucket games. Yes, they go to Nantucket, or cover Nantucket when it's on the road. Ron Lancaster and I do the Martha's Vineyard games. And then we have a couple of other solo guys or teams that cover Dennis Yarmouth and Barnstable and some of those games. They have quite a few sponsorships. I noticed today, these are live read commercials from local business affiliates on Nantucket or on Martha's Vineyard. We're talking little mom-and-pop stores or, you know, the wicked local newspapers or some of the banks. And I think I have 10 different clients. I think I counted today 10 different clients who all get at least four reads, if not more, during the game. So they found a way to make it work, and I would really encourage someone to, you know, people have asked me, why do you go down to the Cape or the Vineyard to do football games? Why don't you do some local games? Well, nobody's doing them. You know, this Ed Pereira at WNBH, he does New Bedford High games. Now I don't think BSM is doing any football coverage except maybe Thanksgiving. So, you know, we need to find somebody. I'm just not a good salesman. You know, I it's not my thing to walk in and try to sell somebody some commercials. But I think the New Bedford area could really support something like this, too. There'd be enough sponsors to make it worthwhile for us to get the equipment and to get the website. But as it is now, I work for these fine people who invited me into their family and had treated me well. I missed a season of football because of my stroke, and they were quite happy to see my recovery this summer, I guess. And actually, I'm going to do my first game here after the stroke, and we'll see how I do, if it's a manageable press box and not too long of a night. So I'm off to meet my partner, and we'll update you in just a few. So we made it down to the Cape. I'm here at Dennis Yarmouth High School with my co-host, my analyst tonight. That is Stan Norman. And Stan, how long have you been doing games? Do you know how many years?
Since 1998. 1998, almost 20 years.
Wow. So tonight I'm allegedly doing play-by-play, and you're doing the analyst job.
And allegedly I'm doing the color job, yes.
We'll have some fun. So I'm giving folks sort of a behind-the-scenes about today. I drove down to Wareham where we met at about 3:30. We headed down to Dennis Yarmouth. We got here about 4:20 or so. And we came up into the booth and found out where they want us to sit. And it's not all, you know, glory in this business. I have to lean way out the window to see the clock. So it's not like, you know, gymnastics.
Put you in position in case somebody doesn't like you.
Oh, they'll throw me out the window. Okay.
Yes.
So we went down in the field and talked to the coaches of both teams because this is the first game of the season, so we don't know who to look for. And in a way, they don't know what they're going to get either. So we went down and had a little chat with them. We're about 40 minutes away from kickoff and broadcast time, so I'm going to go run you to the bathroom. And you're going to get a hot dog, right?
Yes.
Okay. We'll be back. So we just finished the game now, and Stan and I have a little bit of a drive to get back home. I mean, we're going now from Dennis to Wareham, where my car is. And then, where do you go?
Northbridge.
Northbridge. Okay, you should be home by Sunday night.
No problem.
We just did a game tonight where the final score was 49-14. And I got to tell you that I don't have a long sports broadcasting career, but in my sports broadcasting career, I hate blowouts, you know, because it's so exciting when a game is close. But I guess we earn our chops, huh, when the game is a blowout.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. I ended up getting back home a little after 10 that night, and things went well. I say I still mumble a few words because of my stroke. Stan was telling me that he never noticed it during the entire night. So I think it sounds worse to us than it does to anyone else. You know, or I'm super critical. But we'll see. Next game is coming up Friday night. Time to shine the spotlights on a police officer that we read about in Illinois. Now, it's not all that unusual for a police officer to deliver a baby, but an Illinois police officer has delivered his own son in a hotel parking lot. Rockford, Illinois, Officer James Nashampasik was on duty early on a Sunday morning when his girlfriend called to say she was going to give birth.
So the officer rushed home to find her screaming. He says her water had broken and she was going into labor right on the spot. During the 20-minute drive to the hospital, she told him the baby wasn't going to wait any longer. So he pulled into a hotel parking lot, told dispatch he needed an ambulance. Nashimpasik delivered the baby just moments before a group of fellow officers showed up. While he was never trained to deliver babies, Nashimpasik says sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. Here's that recipe I was telling you about. I found another good recipe on Pinterest last week. It's called One Pot Kielbasa Pasta. I put this up on Facebook, and I had people right away asking me for the recipe, so I'll put it on the PeteBrayley.com page here. It takes about 30 minutes to make. You fry the kielbasa with some onions, add garlic, then chicken broth, diced tomatoes, some heavy cream, and I used bow tie pasta. Simmer it for about 15 minutes, remove it from the heat, and stir in some cheddar cheese, and then just cover it. Let the heat of the meal melt the cheese. Then you top it with some scallions, and you're done. All right, you'll find the recipe here on the PeteBrayley.com page. My thoughts on 9/11. We've been through a lot as a country since September 11th, 2001. I'll always remember that day, as we all will, remembering where we were. I happened to be on the air at the time and not having a clue as to what was going on. I was in the studio. Lynn Poyant was doing the news. One plane crashed into the World Trade Center. I thought it was a small plane. Maybe a pilot had a heart attack and flew into the building. Then, as Lynn was finishing the 9 o'clock news, we got word that a second plane had flown into the World Trade Center. And I realized at that point that this was no coincidence. This was no accident. A year later, we went to Ground Zero, and we did a broadcast with the CBS News crew from right across the street from Ground Zero. That was a very touching broadcast for me. Jim Marshall went with us, and Evan was still with us at the time. He went down and did a lot of the legwork for me as far as setting up interviews. And that was an amazing sight just to see. Not much had been done, really. In the year. I haven't had a chance to get down to the memorial yet. I do want to do that sometime, and I do want to go to the museum. It is something that we can never forget. Now, some people I saw on social media feel that we have forgotten 9/11. I don't think so. I think we have a population now that just barely remembers it, you know, because they were young kids at the time, and they're all over social media. So they're watching the movies, and there have been some excellent documentaries. What bothered me more, though, this time, was I was sent a link to a video on YouTube about a pilot who was supposed to be in the pilot's chair on, was it Flight 11 out of Boston? But he got bumped by another pilot who had seniority. So, yeah, he was supposed to pilot that plane. And he ended up having the day off and went to work with the Navy that day. So, yeah, he has survivor's guilt. But what bothered me was, as I watched that video, down below there were links to other videos. You know how they recommend, you know, something on a similar topic that you might want to watch? Down below, there were several videos that talked about how 9/11 was a hoax. There was actually one that said, no planes ever flew into the World Trade Center. Now, I suppose I shouldn't have a hard time realizing that some people believe this. Because, you know, conspiracy theories have been around for years. But what do those people have to say about all the people that died? All the people that disappeared? Was the whole thing a hoax? Come on. I mean, if you want to watch these videos, they're on YouTube. Just, you know, just Google 9/11 hoax. And you'll see all these videos. And I'm not just talking about that. Who's that crazy guy that was interviewed on Megyn Kelly did an interview with that Jones guy, right? He's crazy. But I just can't believe these 9/11 conspiracy. They just can't accept what happened that day and the devastation. My thoughts have always been with the first responders. Through my wife, who's a paramedic, I've had a chance to meet some people that actually went down to Ground Zero that week. And, there are some that suffer. They have some type of respiratory issue that I think is probably all that crap they inhaled that day. I remember how it brought this country together right after the event, similar to what we're seeing happening with the hurricanes. Have we completely lost that with such a divisive political atmosphere in this country? I would hope not. And I think situations like Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Harvey do bring out the best in people. And we have to keep going with the positive. Never forget 9/11. And don't give in to all this hoax crap. That's my feeling. Your comments are always welcome here on the comment page, or you can reach us on Facebook if you're one of our followers on Facebook. Also, at Pete Braley on Twitter. Or you can email braley.pete@gmail.com. That's it for this week's podcast. We'll be back again with another one soon. Oh, by the way, Pete's Pat's pick. Yeah, I blew it last week. I'll be one of those broadcasters that actually admits when he blows it. I think... Didn't I pick the Patriots by like 13? They just did not look ready. They didn't look ready to play, did they? I think it's a bounce back week, though. I see New England beating New Orleans, but I'm not going to go out with a 2-touchdown prediction or anything. I'll just keep it with a 1-score advantage. So I'll pick New England over the Saints by 7. Talk to you soon.